This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Atos Holdings, Carifta Aquatics 2024, Fincastle Media Group, Bonneville Bones, Alive, Barefoot Marketing, Burger King, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, ESC Distributors Limited, Commonwealth Bank, and Paradise Fisheries.
The Foundation.
See, my dear, I like my toast on one side. You can hear it in my accent when I talk. I'm an Englishman in New York. You see me walking down Fifth Avenue, a walking cane here at my side.
Gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Did you feel the sting? Just a little pinch, a little sting. Englishman in New York, ladies and gentlemen, so happy to be with you this morning. Despite your ravaging me on social media, talk to me. You are wilding out. Someone call me. Ask him if I work for him. You need to stop it. Right now, in el nombre del diablo. Anyway, let me be decent. Praise God. It is a beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company today, guys. I'm so happy. Today is Tuesday, March 26th. We're out here. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Uptick in migrant apprehensions. The information's in there. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force, RBDF, apprehended 122 Haitians off Rugged Island on Saturday, bringing the total of numbers of migrants picked up by the Bahamian waters over the past 2 weeks to 369. I think keep multiplying. Let's talk about these things. The COP rape investigation file in hands. And Pintard wants the FNM convention by September. Yesterday, we had a great conversation. Guys, make sure you go down to check my guys out over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you down there. You can go down there if you're in the market for... If you're in the market for insurance for your Estes, for your Jitneys, for your taxis, for your leggies, whatever you are in the market for, he can be able to assist you in those particular areas. Make sure you do that. Give them a call at 341-1AFS. That's 341-1AFS. They got everything laid out for you. I am grateful to do that. And as we creep up to this kind of a holiday that we're here this weekend, or time off, you know, this is Holy Week. What a way to start off Holy Week, right? As we creep up to these particular things, I want to give a shout out to all my good, decent people. They got a grill out. They got Easter Monday grill out. And Gambia Ramp is going to be from April 1st, 2004, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. April 1st, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They got everything down there. They want you to come down there. They got margaritas. Buy one. Get the second one half off. Conky Conk fritters. Half chicken, right? You got $14. A rack of lambs. They got the Meguana style fried snapper. All the information's in there. You know, they got the beverages, bears, and everything on sale for you. This is going to be Easter Monday. Guys, go down there at the Gambia Ramp and check that thing out. Send them down there. Tell Gene them Howard sent you down there. They got everything laid out. It's going to be extremely exciting. I'm grateful to be in your company today. Guys, it's a beautiful day. It is a gorgeous day, and I'm grateful to do that. We often dive into these things. Now, for the entire week, right? For the entire week, we actually take on this kind of a course. This is what the intent was for this week. I wanted to talk a little bit about science this week, right? I wanted to talk a little bit about science this week. I had the whole thing set up, right? Yesterday, I wanted to have a conversation about our educational disparity that exists in our communities. Well, obviously, that didn't happen, right? But I wanted to talk yesterday about this report that came out from the IDB. Let's start to talk about our country not being adapt and not being abreast of what's happening from a global perspective as it relates to science and math, right? So the IDB put something out there from 2024 to 2028 to say that we need to be able to move ourselves up significantly to be able to be on par with what's happening from a global standpoint. So I did some research. I contrast what was happening from the Minnesota administration with Jeffrey Lord at the helm, what was happening from what's happening now currently with Glenys Hannah Martin in the particular stead at the Ministry of Education. And then I wanted to talk about what Belinda Wilson and those persons who were participants, observers, and had stakeholders of sorts in the ministry. So I set the whole show up, and then I got a call. And so everything's out the window. But this show today is important to me. I tell you, I'm often on social media trying to identify what Bahamians are doing both locally and abroad. I believe that Bahamians are extreme. I believe that you guys are extremely talented. I always try to fortify my belief, not by looking at the malarkey that exists on social media and people just being able to degrade themselves. I'm not talking about that. I know that that's going to be part of any society. But I look for those persons who are doing things on a tremendous basis, both locally and abroad. And I came across the suggestions that happened in my friends, right? I came across Dr. Thane Campbell. And I read through he don't know I did this, right? I feel mad stalkerish, right? it feels stalkerish, but I feel it's a necessity because I do it on LinkedIn, I do it on TikTok, and I do it on Facebook. Now, people don't know I do this unless I pop up in your friend's request. I was reading your profile to see what you do. That's it. So if you have your things out there, say you work for Nike, I'm not going to read your stuff. But if you start to talk about these things that you do, and he was so interesting, I dive deeper into his stuff. And then I went onto the website. And then I kept reading. I said, this guy's extremely interesting, right? I set up a letter with formality, sent it over to him, and he agreed to do the show with us. It's an amazing thing that, you know, time aligns the way that it does. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to none other, all the way from Scotland, to be able to sit here and speak with us today, to talk to us about deep science venture, right? And talk to us the prospects, the concepts, the ideas associated with that, and how we could participate in what's happening both locally and internationally and get ourselves abreast to be able to be on par with entrepreneurialism the world over. I want to introduce you to none other than Dr. Thane Campbell. Dr. Campbell, I say good afternoon, my brother. How are you doing today? Bring him in. He's in. Dr. Campbell?
Hi. Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you definitely. How are you doing today, man?
No, I'm great. I'm doing well. And thank you so much for doing your research and finding...
Thank you for being a stalker, right? thank you for stalking me. No, man, I looked at your stuff and I was really interested in the conversation. I've done that to several people over the years because I'm really interested and I believe that the listening audience, the basis, they recognize the mundane. They recognize the rhythm, what's happening locally. But sometimes they need sort of a boost and a burst of inspiration that exists from the external standpoint to say that, wow, I can't believe that these guys are doing that. Talk to me, introduce yourself, let persons know who you are, let them know your background, what you've been doing, so forth and so on, and where you're at right now.
Absolutely, thank you. So I'm from NASA, first and foremost. That's where I grew up. And when people ask me about the program, I like to start with actually my parents. So my father, Dr. Winston Campbell, one of the first ear, nose, and throat doctors in the Bahamas, helped to build up the field. And my mother, Barbara Campbell, these were huge role models in my life. And in my line of work, you get a sense of appreciation for your role models. But from the Bahamas and from that good start with my family sort of encouraging me to push for things, to really think big, I went over to the United Kingdom, went to Scotland and did my all my university degrees there at the University of Edinburgh, culminating in my own PhD program in immunology.
So talk to me about the inspiration. You said your father, Winston, what's your mother's name?
Barbara Campbell.
And Barbara, right? They're still here in the Bahamas?
The champion.
They're still here with us here in the Bahamas?
My dad is still in the Bahamas, yes. And my mom is back and forth. She's sometimes here with us in the UK.
Okay. So tell me about, I mean, beyond the inspiration of these particular things, you say your father was an ear and throat doctor and being able to do those particular things. Where did the inspiration come from very early? Was it your father inspiring you based upon what you've seen? How did you find yourself in this position to be able to climb to such esteem?
Yeah, you know, I think for my own journey, I have two really, really clear memories that I draw on. One is my dad showing me a biology textbook one day with all of these illustrations in it of psychedelic-looking blobs, different colors, you know, with tentacles stretching out and eating things and passing things. And this was my introduction to cell biology, and I was fascinated. And so that's one, and I still have the, I can still see the textbook that he brought from a library as a little child. And then another was actually at school. I was at St. Andrew's School for a while, and there was this like project competition that the teacher got us to do, mm-hmm. where you had to throw an egg off of a balcony, and it had to hit the floor and not crack. So we had to come up with all kinds of contraptions and things that we would do to protect this egg. And
so beyond boiling it, you couldn't boil it.
Right, exactly. It had to be a raw egg, and you had to figure out how that egg was going to land safely. So this sort of eggstronaut challenge, it was really good. It was fun. And I still remember making this kind of landing, you know, parachute on a jar kind of contraption with my mom. And so I put the egg in a Kool-Aid jar with some water in it, and I had a parachute on that. And the cushioning of the water combined with the parachute.
Did it break?
Some failed prototypes along the way that did break with my mom. But in the end, it worked when I actually took it to school and threw that Kool-Aid jar off the balcony. Yeah, it worked. So things like that, like simple little things like that, showing a book to a child or doing a project at school. But they really made me think differently about what was possible. And from there, like, so much done. that I got to get my hands into at university. I worked on this cutting edge medical imaging research project where the challenge was to diagnose disease in the lung. So the lung is hard to get information out of. It's a kind of biological black box. And we came up with a device that works through an optic fiber. And this optic fiber goes into the lung. It goes all the way into the small air pockets of the lung where you can see exactly what's going wrong. So you can see fungi and bacteria and different things. And now the doctor can use that technology to make diagnoses, whereas before there was a lot of uncertainty of what the disease is and people were dying. Now we can actually diagnose and treat faster and save lives.
So at the end of the fiber optic, is it cameras?
Absolutely, yeah. So it technologies at the end. It was a microscope. So it didn't have like a, when you say a camera, the camera wasn't exactly at the end. The microchips and everything were connected.
You created
to the end
this stuff?
Of the fiber outside of the lung.
You created this? Did you help it?
Yeah, we were in a lab. So
this
I was
is
in a
crazy.
Team of three universities and GlaxoSmithKline and another big microchips company called ST. And we were all creating different parts of this technology. It was super interdisciplinary. It was a lot of different things coming together. So some people were working just on the glass that you had to pull to make an optic fiber. And some people just on the microchips, some on the image analysis. And my area of research and where I developed my expertise was in the cell biology. So it was really sort of applied and downstream of all these other things. Like we need the basic device. We need glass and microchips and wires and a computer. But then when you put that into someone's lung and you start seeing time, what do you do
this
with that information?
This is amazing. This is amazing. And you know what? And all this started from St. Andrews. All this started way back.
It started with really good role models. Yeah, I think if you got role models and you encourage our young people to think bigger, to realize that they can maybe do something that they thought they couldn't, or that the world is even the microscopic world, a kind of more fascinating place than they thought it was yesterday, you'd be surprised where that young person winds up.
I really want to get into the deep science venture and talk about what that is. But you got to give me two more seconds with this because while I'm listening to you, I think about myself. I think about my children and whether or not I'm encouraging them. I think about myself. I think about my family, my father, my mother. And, you know, in retrospect, you know, where would I have been if there was relentless encouragement, this persistence that you can do it, baby. You can do it. And this participation,
absolutely.
Right? Stories, I'm always fascinated. And I think sometimes we got to be able to kind of labor on it so a lot of persons could understand who are in sort of the infancy state of relationship with their children as the children grow and whatnot. It's important that we encourage our kids. It doesn't matter where you're from, where your background is. If we could encourage our kids, they can go around the world. And guess what? They will never forget about home because you didn't. Talk to me about it, Doc.
Absolutely.
You did not forget about home in the midst of what you're doing. Talk to me about what you're doing with Deep Science Venture.
Yeah, so, you know, while I was doing my, I realized how much we could be doing with technology. But towards the end, I also learned some of the limitations of the way research is sort of set up today in universities all around the world. And so one of the big limitations is if you're in a science PhD program, the rest of the university isn't really ready for you to just invent something and then create a company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how, you know, education progressed. It wasn't the main aim when research departments first started. It's still not the main aim. It's like a very small side gig to just doing the research and publishing papers about it. That's very much the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I landed on my own invention. And I found all of these brick walls and hurdles and difficulties in trying to take that out of the university and into the commercial space as a company. Mm-hmm. Despite of the fact that I had a lot of support from GlaxoSmithKline, this huge global pharmaceutical company. So it became really clear to me that this is a point of friction for maybe a lot of other people. I saw other people that I was working with who had the same frustration. And then I spent a couple of years working in technology transfer for my university, where I saw thousands of university students who also wanted to make serious science companies. What I was really blessed to see at the same time is that Deep Science Ventures has this other model. So I got to spend a couple of months even during my PhD before I finished that. And I was at Deep Science Ventures. And this was a managed moonshot R&D lab. This was a place where you have scientists and people who understand and read up technology and get excited about asking themselves, what is the most important question in my field? Like, what would be the most disruptive thing that I could spend my time on, the most progress that I could bring out into the world through inventing? The model was streamlined to just give that person everything they need, the time, funding, the industrial partnerships, the co-founders. Like, once you landed on that thing, once you used your research skills to find that solution, then they would really double down on you.
Do you have to convince a board, or do you have to convince a body of people that this is why we're going to be able to move in this particular direction? Like, as you go for your theses, right, you come before a board and you try to be able to explain your way. So before you get your funding and they apply this particular concept to you, do you have to go through the pitch of why this is the most important thing that I'm willing to give my my time and my effort to be able to bring this to life?
You do have to pitch. You do have to persuade investors. And that is a part of the amazing training and learning and journey that you're on. You're not just reading science and writing about science. You have to learn how to become a real science company founder. And it's important that in our programs you learn how to pitch, because you'll need more investment and you'll have to persuade those people as well. So what I would say is that our process is one that's gradual, and we are there with you every step of the way. So stepping back, because we're getting into the how the model works. But let me just say at the outset, Deep Science Ventures, we're a venture creator and a venture fund. We've built 40 science companies in the climate space, in the agriculture space, but also pharmaceuticals and computation. And we do that globally. So we've got companies in New York and Zurich, Amsterdam, London, California, and other places. We've got backing from people like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Sam Altman, and the portfolio of companies is worth $430 million. Woo. So exactly. We're really happy with how hard everyone has worked to get to this point. And the portfolio and the process, the two have really proven each other out. Like, we can really see from the sneeze, the model that we're now talking through of how you land on the problem, then how you land on the solution, who you have to persuade to get investment. Like, these things have been thought about over several years, and it's working.
I want to know one thing, because I know you step forward and you step back with these particular things. From the science perspective, I'm listening to this, and it seems like it's a body of people that have a very clear understanding that for the alleviation of life's issues, the tribulation that we see, whether that's world hunger, whether that is agricultural development, whether that is being able to identify fungi or looking for the next pandemic, try to be able to fix those, whatever it is that we're looking at, there is a body of people, both venture capitalists and scientists, who have shared interests in this kind of a global space. So when you start to pitch the concept, they're only waiting for you to convince them that you can be able to get to a solution and say, here's the money, right? Is that really what's happening here?
Yeah, there's a broad church of investors. There's some waiting for that pitch, and then there are some people who will spend a lot longer with you, and they want to see every detail, and that's all good. But you're absolutely right that there's a broad set of people, and I think this is one of the things that I didn't learn on my PhD so much is that you've got university researchers, you've got big pharma and industry, you've got the investment community, so venture capital and angel investors, you've got policymakers also involved in this space, helping to shape the environment that, you know, the rest of us are working in and inventing in, and sometimes that's crucial. And so one of the things that we major on is getting founders to engage with all of these different stakeholders early, so that whatever you invent, by the time you get to that endpoint, everybody is brought with you and you have a much better conversation that way.
Wow, this is exciting stuff. I got to take my first commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here talking with none other than Dr. Thane Campbell, all the way from Scotland, Begins Venture, the concepts, the ideas, the foundation, how it actually works. And by the time we're done with this, we'll talk about participation, how you can get involved with these particular things. So let's gradually move to those things. I'm going to open up the lines at 1 o'clock, but give me some time. Let's get the foundation out and let's talk about these things. Quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Oh, I'm an alien, I'm a legal alien, I'm an Englishman in New York. Oh, I'm an alien, I'm a legal alien, I'm an Englishman in New York.
If manners make of manners, someone said, he's our hero of a day. Takes a man to suffer ignorance and smile. Be yourself, no matter what they say.
Whoa, I'm an alien, I'm a legal alien, I'm an Englishman in New York. Whoa, I'm an alien, I'm a legal alien in New York. Modesty, propriety, the leads of notoriety. Combat gear to make a man. It takes more than a license for a gun. Confront your enemies, avoid them when you can. A gentleman will walk but never run. The manners make of manners, someone said.
Contact DaVinci Printing Innovators today for all your printing needs. Customized receipt books, NCR forms, invitations, event tickets, program booklets, business and ID cards, flyers, posters, and banners. They're scanning, printing, lamination, and binding services. Also, a variety of office supplies. No design, no problem. Dedicated graphic designers are ready to serve you. DaVinci Printing Innovators, located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Stop in or call 677-2922 or browse services online at www.davinciprinting242.com. Where printing is an art.
to make a man. It takes more than a license for a gun. Confront your enemies, avoid them when you can. A gentleman will walk but never run. The manners make of manners, someone say. He's our hero of the day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. I'm having great conversation with none other than Dr. Thane Campbell. He's here telling us about Deep Science Venture. I am very, very excited about it. We're learning a great deal. And if you are ever at any sort of a concept and idea that we're only a service-based industry, only a service-based people, this is why these conversations are necessary, for you to be able to understand what exists both locally and internationally, what we've given birth to here in this country, what motivation, what is sort of nurturing an idea that's been poured into our kids right here on our soil, that they can be able to touch lives globally. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you again to none other than Dr. Thane Campbell. Doc, I want to thank you so very kindly for it. You seem to have lived a very interesting life. I'm excited about being able to talk about these things. And I want to do more of these conversations to really encourage the next generation. Do you take this into consideration, that you're really being able to be in this position, that you're influencing others? Because I know St. Andrews boasts about you and others who are doing great things like this, both locally and abroad.
You know, I absolutely think about it, Howard, because I joined Deep Science Ventures as the founding dean of our college.
Yeah.
A virtual college that has launched the Venture Science Doctorate. And so my real interest and passion lies at taking everything that we were just talking about, this innovation model that Deep Science Ventures builds companies through, and giving those tools to the next generation, to people who are in higher education or returning, people who don't have their PhD yet, but they want to leverage the latest science and try and solve some of the world's hardest problems. So I think a lot about, and we had to really nail this down at the beginning, what does that curriculum look like? What is the learning experience? Who are we going to partner with to really make this an experience for people in the Bahamas, people in the UK, people used to this program, the Venture Science Doctorate, from over 60 countries. And so it's one where we've really been intentional and thought, okay, we're in a position where we can do something for people who are coming up. And that's the space that Deep Science Ventures really leans into, because those are your entrepreneurs. Like, those are the people who very often have that determined, ambitious, and optimistic mindset.
Yeah.
Who are going to think, okay, I have certain skills now. I see the problems that the world has. You know, I don't play yet, maybe, or, you know, I don't have this commitment or the other. I can dedicate my time now full time and really focus on hurricane resilience, focus on agri-tech, on the kind of climate tech that the Bahamas needs.
Mm. I like this. So, go ahead.
So absolutely.
I wanted to ask you a question. For those listeners who want to know a little bit more about this, Howard, what is he talking about? Howard, what is Deep Science Venture? For those listeners who are trying to be able to learn about, give a simple breakdown or a little sample, a little story, or perhaps to tell us about those companies, how you've built it, how you've been able to merge, and really what the overarching objective is for those for Deep Science Venture.
Yeah, so Deep Science Ventures is the company where we've built 40 science companies, like I was mentioning. And a couple of those are RISACORE. So this is a company that helps forests capture more carbon dioxide. So as we know, climate change is a huge problem. Everyone's facing it. This is an important problem for the whole world. And a key part of solving it is to get more CO2 out of the air. What not a lot of people think about is just how nature is already at the cutting edge of doing that. And so RISACORE We brought these guys in-house to look at the problem and landed on nature being the humans. They engineer fungi to through the roots of fungi that go deep underground to interact with trees and to push them into a state that draws more CO2. So that's Rhizocore. Another company would be, I guess, in the same climate space, Mission Zero, where this is now a machine. This is a sort of engineered device, still in the carbon sequestration space. So drawing gigatons of CO2 out of the air. It's an extremely efficient technology. And Mission Zero have been backed by Bill Gates. They've won the X Prize. They just closed their Series A last week, I think it was, and that was a 21 million pound raise. So we've got companies using this platform and really rolling out some really important step changes in the climate space. And that's why with the Venture Science Doctorate, which is this program that, so Deep Science Ventures and Office of the Prime Minister in the Bahamas have partnered to bring the Venture Science Doctorate to the Bahamas. So the Venture Science Doctorate is already a kind of global, fully accredited PhD program with people applying from Ghana and Kenya and Tokyo and London and California and all over the place. And we thought, you know, I'm from the Bahamas. You know, what about bringing this to the Bahamas? So I spoke to Office of the PM and they were very excited about it. And so we made the announcement in October. And it was great to just tell the Bahamas that this is an opportunity that we have and our young people have, and really anybody who wants to invent one of these kind of science technology companies. You can enroll. Applications are still open. So the program applications close on the 31st. So you have a few days to get your CV in, and then let's see how you do in the process. So since October, we've had a really good of the Bahamas, because when you think about the kind of people who are applying to programs like this, it's niche, right?
Yeah.
For a country of what, 400,000 people,
yeah,
we've already had over 20 applicants in the space of a few months. And so this is really, I mean,
did you take a peek at the applications?
Did we?
Did you take a peek at the applications and the concepts or the path that they want to be able to go? I know that.
So those applications are being processed, and some of them have been processed all the way, and we have a few more to go through. And we're just encouraging people, like, if this sounds like an opportunity, if you want to solve some of the climate challenges that the Bahamas faces,
mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you switch on the news and you see what the Prime Minister is talking about, you're hearing about climate, you're hearing about some of the problems that we're facing. What not a lot of people know is that agriculture costs $1 billion every year to the Bahamas because we're importing all of this food. So these both, climate, agriculture, these are huge problems. If we solve them, we're literally going to change what life looks like in the Bahamas. We're making our country more hurricane resilient and would be able to grow our own food and really become a place that's exporting and making a profit on those exports far more than we're importing. When you look at the hotel industry that's built up around the Bahamas, the food for those hotels has to come from somewhere. That could be our business, right?
Yes.
And so we're encouraging Bahamians, you know, March 31st is the deadline. Get your CV in. Let's see how you handle the application process, because so far I've been really impressed by the caliber of the applicants that have come in. And I would just say, you know, if you've applied and you haven't gotten through all the way this time, it's not everything that you can get on the first time. It's a program that this is difficult to do. We're talking about technology. We're talking about innovation, invention. But I would just say that go ahead and reapply. Like, some of the strongest applicants we have in this round, because we had a previous round last year, some of the really strongest applicants are those who reapplied. They saw what the process was like. They had a go at it. And now they've done it again and they've really excelled. And so we're interviewing those people now and thinking about, you know, who we're going to make those offers to.
I want to talk to you from a micro and a macro perspective. I could see that a lot of the conversations that we have is really macro. It's wide. It's not necessarily only to be able to help a small community, a small people, but it's a little bit rectified. As you start to talk about RISA-CORE, or RISA-CORE, as we're starting to be able to deal with these things to capture more CO2 in the environment and other companies who are doing with these particular things, I think you said it's called Mission Zero. This is big. This is big. This is leading us into a conversation about climate change, global warming, rising seabed, so forth and so on. Locally, absolutely. I know that we've been working on some stuff. My very good friend, Rupert Haywood, out of Grand Bahama, with Blue Labs, have been doing some stuff with coral. And he's gotten global recognition for trying to be able to ensure that he can be able to regrow them. We did a show on the entire thing. But you're saying to me, for those persons who are interested in being able to participate with what you guys are doing over at Deep Science Venture, with everything that you've partnered with the government of the Bahamas for, there could be an opportunity for you to be able to look at it from a micro perspective, from a smaller community perspective, by being able to identify how we can be able to fortify our soil to ensure that we can be more self-reliant with food, how we can be able to build in a particular manner to make things more hurricane resilient. So it doesn't have to be this sort of a save the world concept. We could start by saving our community. Talk to me about it.
Absolutely. No, and we talk a lot in my work about virtuous cycles. So if people are seeing innovators and inventors go out there with this technology that's really making a big global impact, then that's inspiring everybody who sees a kind of RISA-CORE or Mission Zero or the next Bahamian invention and technology. That's inspiring people back home, back in their communities, to think, oh, like I went to school with Guile, one of the founders of Mission Zero. Mm-hmm. I went to university with Toby, one of the founders of absolutely a community thing at the same time, because those communities are drawing inspiration from these guys, and they've also been a source of inspiration. I mean, I told you early on just about my parents, but mm-hmm. there's so many people that I can thank from my community, and you meet people who are like-minded, who, you know, maybe before this leveraging science for all of these things, they're doing other things. They're thinking about recycling and smaller kind of scale initiatives, but that more people can easily get involved into, and mm-hmm. keeping that energy alive. There's this, I'm in this WhatsApp group called Beings, which is this for like environmentalists in the Bahamas. And there are all kinds of initiatives being passed around, like the community is doing this, this grant is open, we're collecting this data, where all of that is sort of spurring people to stay in their space, stay determined, stay in their mindset to actually create change. These kind of bold, global scale innovators who are going to be all over the newspapers and really hopefully stop the rising sea levels and the big problems.
Man, this is a big mission that you have, and I'm grateful to hear that you have, you know, while you may have 20-some persons in there, there is going to be a rising amount of numbers. When we get back after this 1 o'clock break, I want to talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to kind of have you, you know, kind of spread the invitation far and wide, explain to persons what it is, let them know how they can be able to participate, let them know the website, so forth and so on. And let's talk a little bit more about Deep Science Ventures and futuristically, what do you see the participation from that particular standpoint. When we get back, I'd like to dive into that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with none other than Dr. Thane Campbell, talking to us about a great deal of things that's happening out there and letting you know how you can get involved. Let's take this quick commercial break. We're going to get to news and be right back after this.
I don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast on one side. You can hear it in my accent when I talk. I'm an Englishman in New York. You see me walk.
make of man, as someone said. He's our hero of the day. It takes a man to suffer ignorance and smile. Be yourself, no matter what they say. Whoa, I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an English man in New York. To make a man, it takes more than a license for a gun. Confront your enemies, avoid them when you can. A gentleman will walk but never run. If man or someone say...
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect, having great conversations. I wanted to get to the meat and potatoes of the things. The lines are going to be wide open. If you are interested, if you are, if you desire to participate, if you want to know a little bit more about what's happening both locally and internationally as it relates to deep science ventures here in the country with Dr. Thane Campbell, I invite you to give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or you can give me a text, at 422-4796. Dr. Thane, when we left off, you start to talk to me about a few things that you got going on, right? You start to tell me about how people could be able to participate. Let them know the age category, the stipulations, how they can be able to participate, where did they go to participate, what categorization that they need to be in to be able to be identified, and then kind of matriculate up to be, unraveled accordingly. Let me know exactly what's up, my brother.
Yeah, so great question on the personas of people who are applying. So there are a broad set of people that we would really encourage to apply. We want to see creative thinkers, people who don't just combine old ideas, but actually create new ones that have never been in that space before. So bringing heuristics and strategies from, the space of chemistry into climate engineering. Logical thinkers, people who... they can reason through a problem. They can connect a problem, probe the problem with a question, connect solution, and really draw out this strategy out of a list of strategies and come up with rationale for why. Persuasive people, right? Because at the end of the day, all of that good research work needs to also be taken forward into the world of commerce. And so we need people who can convince, other people, who can bring other people with them. We're not just talking about really bombastic kind of hard sell people, but also people who can gently and leveraging empathy really create their support base. And then we need resilient people, and we need coachable people, because there are some steep learning curves on this path. So in the first year of the Venture Science Doctorate, you are learning a suite of things through 10 courses that Deep Science Ventures has built from our model, from watching our best founders, into a curriculum. And you're learning venture finance. You're learning what we call techno-economics, like how do you get a technology into the market? You're learning narrative design and negotiation and all of these things. And so one of those is going to be one that you really have to stick with and put more effort into and be determined and be resilient. And then every step of the way, you have your DSV mentor. So you have a kind of coach with you the whole time. And this person stays with you in years 2 and 3, where you're actually in labs all around the world. I mean, we've got University College London, Imperial College London, King's College London, Cornell University in the States, the Helmholtz Association in Germany, really like a large set of research organizations. We're working with CGIAR, the world's largest agriculture research network, operative in 100 countries right now, 16 global research centers. So that kind of network is open to you to move through. You're prototyping one day using looking at soil science. The next day you need to bring biology and bacteria and microbes into the same technology. You can move around through this space and do that. But you might need to share some of that decision making with your coach, and you might need to show us that you're coachable even at the recruitment stage in the applications process that's live right now. So all of that, all of those kinds of traits are super important for these candidates.
You know, I looked at this and I'm listening, you know, as you talk about these things, I think across the board, I don't even know whether or not, I'm sure the prerequisite is for you to be able to be equipped from an educational standpoint. But when you start to talk about creative, logical thinkers, persuasive people, resilient, coachable, trainable, so forth and so on, these are characteristics of people who have a very clear understanding, no matter their field, about the fact that there is a purpose. I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about the overarching purpose. When we started this conversation off, you started to tell me about, and then that kind of relationship evolving into science and your love for science and how it evolved, and you were, you know, nurtured, matured, developed in that, and take this relationship elsewhere, right? You find yourself overseas, you matriculated to the educational field and found yourself now here at the helm of this. Talk to me about purpose. Talk to me about an anchor, to know that you could come from such a small community, small country, and participate in something global. Is there any, and I don't want to be able to, I know you guys are scientists and you don't necessarily want to get into a conversation of faith, but as it relates to linkage, I think that's one of the things that we talk about. Do you find yourself as a significant link that is now being able to pull the next generation closer to finding a progressive and more community-based world for us to live in? Do you find yourself a part of this big puzzle, this big picture?
Well, first of all, we can absolutely talk about faith.
Okay, let's talk about faith then. Let's go.
I went to Holy Cross Anglican Church, and I'm going to church over in Scotland as well. And that has been a consistent theme in my journey. And like, so if you start off young asking questions about God,
I think
you're on a good path to think about bigger questions and bigger problems later in your career as well.
And you haven't left your faith.
Absolutely not. I know a lot of scientists who haven't. And I think this whole thing that is portrayed that science and faith are at odds is a really curious and unnecessary thing. If you look hard at the history of it, before there were the universities.
Yes.
We as a Christian nation are coming out of the Judeo-Christian tradition where, you know, Judaism was bizarre in the Old Testament because this was a religion where all of the sort of fishermen and everyday people were expected to read. And so education, to read the Torah, you know, this is very much tied up in our faith all the way back. So I think at the end of the day, we at Deep Science Venture are a particular kind of scientists who value impact. And, you know, I can't speak for everyone at Deep Science Ventures, but I absolutely think the impact that Jesus has made on the world has been singular and particularly valuable, let's say. And so faith comes into it. And I think it's a big part of your resilience. Like when you say purpose and resilience, you're touching on the core of people, where they derive their meaning from, how they construct their worldview. And without going too far ranging, I can just tell you, you know, I've been really stimulated by and excited by the purpose of the company that we're working for, and the values that this program is bringing into higher, you know, in some ways we can say it's just wrong to encourage people into a science training program and then not support or in some ways actively like get in the way of the fruition of that science, that technology helping to benefit other people. And what we're doing is opening the door for people who otherwise will find themselves in all kinds of barriers and roadblocks, some of them bureaucratic and some of them just politics and people being selfish, you know. So we're creating this clear path, and a part of my purpose is to set that path for young people and for people who want to invent, so that the highest goal that they feel called to, that they are called to, that they can achieve it in their life. And I think we don't think about science research too much in the Bahamas. And in some instances, that is the goal that some of our people are called to. And this is a program that they can realize it through. So I'm very much driven by that as a purpose.
I'm listening and... I'm glad that you actually point that out. I think a lot of persons, as I'm listening to you, there's capability in the community, but there is significant discouragements. As you start to talk about the venture and being able to ensure that you can break down those barriers that exist in an international space, those barriers seem to be amplified locally. Now, and I'm encouraged when you say that you're working with the Office of the Prime Minister, and the Office of the Prime Minister is being able to assist in these areas as they're continuing to have a conversation about what's happening from a climate change perspective globally. There needs to be a significant emphasis on identifying those individuals in our community who can be able to participate in reforming, whether that be the mindset, whether that be the environment, whether that be prepping the ecosystem to ensure that we're all cognizant of our position and how we should be able to play. I think this relationship is important, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to kind of talk with you also. There needs to be more encouragement to let persons know, younger people, middle-aged people, people who've had great dreams, put it on the shelf and forgot about it because of the fear that someone's going to steal it, because of the fear of lack of participation or recognition, because of the fears that exist historically down those barriers. I want to know whether or not you're interested in being able to do anything locally in terms of being able to come back home, for a time, or having persons locally being able to, you know, participate in, I don't know, like a seminar of sorts, a workshop of sorts, online or otherwise, so they can be able to just be exposed to this this great thing that you guys are doing over at Deep Science Venture.
I mean, we would love to hear from, obviously we're in the last week of applications coming in.
Yeah.
But going forward, we'd love to hear from University of the Bahamas,
yes,
BAMSI, Luther Island School about doing these kinds of workshops. So if you're a a student at any of these places, let your administration know. And, you know, if you're working in any of these places, feel free to reach out to us at Deep Science Ventures, because I think we need to get the word out. And at the same time, you mentioned the ecosystem. We absolutely need to do this in like physical spaces back home in the Bahamas. So,
yes.
So I'm here telling you about this program, and it's global and decentralized and virtual, and you can take it anywhere in the world. And we bring people together every couple of months to kind of create that sense of community, but you can sort of invent wherever you need to be in the world.
Mm.
But we very much need spaces dedicated to this in the Bahamas. And we've partnered with Blue Action Lab, mm-hmm. who have the Conservation Cove. They have facilities on Grand Bahama where you can actually, as a part of this program, as part of the Venture Science Doctorate, you can go and be there amongst some of the foremost climate tech companies in the Bahamas. And there are agri-tech companies and aquaculture companies going in as well. So Blue Action Labs is a very exciting partner for us. We were very thrilled to sort of sign that off and to be working in a real physical way in the Bahamas with people like Rupert Hayward, who we know has a huge passion for bringing opportunities to Bahamians, to more Bahamians.
Yes, yes. He's really been doing a great deal of things. He and I just had a recent conversation, and I'm excited to be able to talk about those things. He's really been doing a great deal of things, and I was very excited to hear that you guys are being able to work. And I felt like, all right, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I know Rupert. I know what he's been doing with Blue Action Labs, and I'm excited to have this kind of a conversation going forward. Let me see if I can take this telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open if you want to be able to participate. The telephone call is on the line. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Hi.
I think I have the wrong number. Sorry.
Okay. All right, guys. If you want to be able to participate in the telephone call, please do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Yeah, I think, you know, it's important to do this. As we start to talk about, we often look at Silicon Valley. We often look at other spaces that are making strides from a technical standpoint, technological standpoint. We always, I often think about Governor Kuhn, COVID-19, hit kicked off and being able to sort of activate a lot of the scientists that existed in the New York space and saying, hey, listen, get in your labs, try to figure out these particular things. And we take for granted what's needed for the next dispensation, for the next era, for the next steps of our lives. We take for granted for that, right? And especially in our culture, we find ourselves very reactive rather than proactive. This conversation that we're having leads to proactivity, is wrapped in purpose, and the participation is crucial. Are you driving that home in different spaces to let persons know that?
This is super exciting. So now you're thinking about innovation strategy, and the Bahamas has a huge opportunity in this space because we have, in some instances, a complete blank slate. So I mean, we literally have blank islands to build on, but we also don't have an economy that is stuck around the things that were yesterday's boom. So we're super excited about the deep, and you know, we've mentioned a lot about climate tech and CO2 capture. There's so many things to be done in this space with our oceans, right? From the kind of products that, you know, tourists are using and making them more eco-friendly to and I'm thinking even of things like sunscreen, which we know has chemicals in it that can damage our coral reefs.
Yes.
Changing that kind of product, suddenly you're having an environmental impact and you're selling something direct to the consumer. I mean, that's like, that's two levels of impact right there. And so, like, there's so many things to be done. If we think about a strategy where if we are putting this physical space down in the Bahamas for innovation, we've got BAMSI. We've got the University of the Bahamas and its campuses. We have on Andros, that's Bamsey. On Eleuther, we've got the Eleuther Island School. We've got set up on Cat Island as well. So we could really map this out and say aquaculture, Eleuther Island School, agriculture, Bamsey, ocean energy. We could go to Grand Bahama, Bigby's facilities there. And so we could sort of strategically go after the big verticals that matter for the Bahamas. And then what would we need, right? We would need critically people coming into the space with the skills, the training, the ambition to say, I can read this science, I can invent this thing and come out with a company and keep growing the economy, right? Bringing high value jobs and bringing more people from all over the world into these spaces. So we'd need people to go in to these institutions, and then we would need funding. And so the opportunity now that we're beginning to see and already starting to talk to people about with the Venture Science Doctorate is one that, you know, Templeton World Charity Foundation, Kiwanis, Lyford Key Foundation, Rotary, we all need to take this very seriously and think, are we going to give this opportunity to more Bahamians, increase the number of scholarships beyond what we have so more Bahamians can get in, and start letting Bahamians lead this movement for the Bahamas? That next generation learning how to build their ocean clean energy technology and company and creating jobs for the Bahamian and building up the workforce that we need for innovation strategy.
What's the long-term goals and objective? As I listen to this, this needs to be embedded in the minds of the next generation. This needs to be embedded in our curriculum to have conversations about not just, I often see people, especially when I was going in school, when we opened up a division in high school back in 90, I think it was 96, 90, 94, anywhere between 94 and 96, the educational curriculum in the Bahamas identified agriculture. And so at my high school in Grand Bahama, we created an entire division towards agriculture. So we were just, you know, planting cabbage. A teacher who was excited about that, we had an Indian teacher come in and actually bring a goat and so forth and so on. These were topical things that we understood, most of us, in the early 90s from our parents. Because my grandfather, we had hogs. Mm-hmm. Like we had hogs, we had the entire thing. I wasn't going to school to get dirty to do that. I'd be dirty at home. Okay. So I want to know from a deep perspective, consistency when it comes to sustainability, when it comes to participation in an industry, because as we and develop in our communities, we tend to move away from these natural things. We tend to move away from fishing and we tend to move away from agriculture, so forth and so on. I'd like to know from you, what is the overarching objective in being able to get this into the minds, into the fabric, into the being of our young generation to get them to grow, develop, and understand that participation in these areas, in marine biology, in agriculture, in these fields is necessary not only for your survival, but for where the world is going in the future?
Yeah, so... this is a great question. The world where humanity and the planet can thrive. And the vision of funders in this space is going to be so important because programs are being shaped. The kinds of things that researchers are applying for and then doing are being shaped by funders. So again, it's a call to people, Templeton World Charity, Rotary, Lyford Key, all of these kinds of groups to think, what purpose do we want to achieve in the Bahamas? One of the things I love about what I get to do on the Venture Science Doctorate is we can hand over the reins and say, young Bahamians, what do you want to do, right? And what's your purpose? And when you talk about agriculture, that is definitely, and sort of environmental sciences, it's for a lot of young Bahamians, like they really care about it. And, you know, we know that we're growing up in a Bahamas where at any moment a deal could get struck for oil to be drilled and to be breaking up our coral reefs and things like this. So So what kind of technologies are we going to make that enable us to have clean energy so we don't rely so much on that oil? And there are things that we can instantly do that we just need people with our mindset back home thinking, I'm doing this for the Bahamas. I'm doing this so we have clean energy so we don't have to resort to things like that, to come in and to use the technologies sometimes that are already there and to just come up with a clever, a unique platform. And so those are the two kinds of, there's the vision of the funder, there's the vision of the actual founder, the individual who's going to shape the technology and create the return on investment for the funder. And those two things have to align. And so we work really hard when people come into the program, they meet business people, they meet investors, and they meet the kind of people who are going to say, you know, there's carbon credits, sure, there are all these other opportunities, but you are an inventor who is creating electricity from tidal energy or creating the kind of crop science technologies that allow our crops in the Bahamas to not be destroyed by hurricanes and the salt that they throw, right? Hurricanes themselves, can we do away with them? So people are talking about technologies where you draw water up from the ocean, you spray in very small micro drops, and you create these very bright clouds that reflect, keep the ocean cool, and you can prevent hurricanes with that kind of technology.
That's
so
crazy.
Like, these things are being talked about today and tried, and they could impact us in the Bahamas.
You know,
could you imagine, right? If you could just turn off hurricane season, board up, and you understand?
But you know something, if I'm going to be honest with you, as I tiptoe just a little bit into conspiracy, we've actually seen the formation of clouds and other cloud machines, so forth and so on. It has often been said over the past decade, maybe two decades, that as a result of this amplification and tampering with the weather, this has led to the position of us being able to have so many hurricanes. So hopefully they could be able to turn this around. But I want to know from you this particular thing. There is a lack of motivation in our community, and I might as well say that far and wide. There is this sort of political mischief afoot, not from a governmental standpoint, just from the community base that says, you know, there are some other things that are important, right? Survival is important. Eating is important. Retaining this way of life is important. The only way that we can be able to change our community and change the mindset is if we continue to have conversations like this, attract the younger people, and hopefully their minds and their hearts, that in due time and due season, they can be able to lend to reform. Because the only thing that we're doing now is just trying to, stave off starvation. We're just trying to do our best to keep that at bay and keep ourselves in this kind of position, looking for the next generation to stand strong and say, we could participate, we could be able to change these things. And that's what we want. These conversations are crucial for me. These conversations
are crucial. They're absolutely crucial. And it's something that we need the community to buy in with and to do with us. So when I see people applying, like Stephen Hunter, who is a climate youth ambassador who applied to the Venture Science Program. And this is someone who is at the Bahamas delegation at COM. This is a serious young man. And he's applying and he's seeing what technologies he could build. People like Kelly Armstrong, who I think in the next couple of weeks or this week, she is at a Caribbean climate justice camp in St. Martin with Ashante Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are people that we all need to be talking about, really clear role models to say, when Bahamians are putting up their hands, let's tell their story, right? Mm-hmm. And when I go out to schools and I had the privilege in October when we made the announcement with OPM to speak at Kingsway Academy and mm-hmm. St. Anne's. And I talk about people like Dr. Salima Harbour. I talk about people like Dr. Gustav, one of our prominent soil scientists. These are people who are the scientists that came before us. And if we tell all of these stories of our own people, we're building really that story out for the next generation to buy in.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I take my last commercial break, let me see if I can take this telephone call. I think I see a call on the line. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to speak with Dr. Campbell and Howard, please.
Yeah, this is he. Go ahead.
Howard, I just want to ask. This Howard?
Yeah, this is Howard. Go ahead. You got right into the show.
I just want to ask Mr. Campbell, Dr. Campbell, if he got Ken Island roots, if his granddaddy was the commissioner. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, eh? Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Your granddaddy was the commissioner?
My grandfather was James Campbell, James Allardyce Campbell. And he's that's my father's father. And he's case in point. This is a man who his parents passed away when he was young, and he was a tomato farmer, agriculture. And that's how he put his younger siblings through school. And then he became a teacher, and so education. And he went on to serve his country, both as a Cat Island commissioner and working with central Bahamas government. And so also a huge inspiration in our family, and someone that I think a lot about, specifically in this space where now I get to work, you know, with government on an education program, which will hopefully develop some agri-technology.
This is an amazing thing. One thing about Bahamian now, they can peg your family. But who's your pa?
They know. Absolutely.
Who's your grandpa, right? But it's an amazing thing that you've had both agriculture and science in your background. You couldn't miss this thing. Talk to me about it. You could not miss this at all.
This is where the faith thing comes back into it. But I say that, and I say you have to be determined at every stage. So what we're talking about doing science research, this is a difficult path. Nobody's going to make it easy for you. But you develop resilience as a part of sticking with it. So there are people who are reapplying to this program. They just really, really want to get in and to build their own company. There are people who, off the back of that, are getting in and, you know, our first cohort is working on their technologies right now. So these are not easy paths to walk, and that's something that I definitely learned from my grandfather. I mean, when he was coming up, they didn't have shoes in Cat Island, and they wrote with chalky rock on pieces of like slate in class. You know, they didn't use pen and paper. So all of that is a part of where I'm coming from in this conversation, to say the next generation has so much more ahead of them. And what we need is people to put their hands up and say, I'm going to dare, I'm going to be ambitious enough to do this and apply to this program. And also people to come with us and to say, the Bahamas could use more of these people, and let's see how many scholarships we can make possible for these bold, inventive Bahamians.
Dr. Campbell, you're doing an amazing job by being able to extend like this, because it's one thing for a child, a young person, to quietly think to themselves that they have the capability of doing it. It's another thing when there is someone who is accomplished or is striving in a particular field that can identify raw talent you have, what it takes to encourage that person to keep pushing forward. Because for the most part, not in every circumstance, but for the most part, in our environment, it's kill or be killed, and you eat what you kill. There needs to be something from an external standpoint that says, you don't have to worry about this particular environment. Stay focused and steadfast on your science, on your creativity, on your development, and let's change the world together. I want to commend you for that. I got to take this last commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here live and in full effect. We're having a great conversation with none other than Dr. Thane Campbell. I want you to participate. I'm going to give you the numbers again. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break, last break. We'll be right back after this.
The foundation. Tell you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's Easter time again, and it's time to stop by Paradise Fisheries, located at number 16 Harley Street, Mount Royal Avenue. We are now accepting those large orders for fish fries on Good Friday. So give us a call today at 325-3301 or stop by our stores between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Fridays and 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Paradise Fisheries, still your one-stop shop for all of those Easter desires.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink. Or you're hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group, Up for Sound Promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Superclub Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian Talent, featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242. Join the Falcons, Novi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open us out on the Bahamian Magic.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Gratidy Company, The Foundation. Here talking with none other than Dr. Thane Campbell. He's all the way from Scotland, being able to talk to us about innovation that exists globally and how we can be able to participate locally. He's telling us about Deep Science Venture and an opportunity that can be able to be extended, or that is has been extended. We got one more week up until March 31st to be able to sign up and participate for something. If you want to be able to open up your creative science venture company to be able to get into a few things, if you had a few ideas, if you're creative, if you are a logical thinker, if you are sort of a persuasive person, if you're resilient, if you're coachable, so forth and so on, you're pliable, you're open to these concepts, and you've been thinking about this, this is a great time for you. You know, persons across the board, if you're listening and you have a nephew who's doing it, child, you know, John could do this, you know, Rita child could do who, whatever you're thinking, you could do this, transfer this information, let them know exactly what's what. Dr. Campbell, tell us about it one more time so persons could know how they can be able to participate, which website they can go to, if there's a number, if there's a place locally that they can be able to participate and be a part of this before March 31st.
Absolutely, yeah. So really easy ways to find the program. Me on LinkedIn, Thane Campbell, or Google the Venture Science Doctorate. Type that in, and the first thing that will come up is the website, and you can appear. So that link is Google the Venture Science Doctorate, and you'll get that. And again, I would just say, you know, this is a path that can be quite difficult in terms of you're going into science research, and you're only working on the research once you've found like a global challenge. That could be in agriculture, So the Bahamas, how do we regenerate our soils? Right.
I like this.
Research coming out that shows that the health of our soils isn't what it needs to be to do large scale agriculture. So how can we change that? We've got people working on things like that right now in the agriculture team at Deep Science Ventures. And you could join them and you could come up with the solution for the Bahamas. So type in the venture science doctorate. And absolutely, I would just echo what you were saying as well, Howard. Like if you know somebody and you said, you know, this person is a smart young man, by all means, like send the information to them. I was astounded as I went around. I mean, one of the talks I gave was at the Ranfley home. And I was talking to kids there. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you know, I just told a little bit about places that I had been and things that I'd worked on. And this young man asked me about my PhD thesis. And he literally, by the end of the talk, had downloaded a PhD thesis onto his phone. And he was going to read it. And I was like, you can't stop these people. Like, you cannot stop the Bahamian who's decided that they're going to work on something, they're going to read about it. And I've been blown away by the caliber of applicants coming through. So it's worth your time to just put your name in the hat and see if you want to follow this through, if you want to find out more about it. A lot of people who do the second round of applications where you get basically some like a lesson from us in how we invent stuff. We're very systematic. We start with the overall outcome that we want to achieve, and we have tools and processes for exploring like many different ways to get there and comparing them. And then we pick the best idea, and that's what we do. Science Ventures, we don't just have an idea and then try to pitch it to somebody, but we actually follow this system, and we can show you the system just for applying.
You know,
Go on, Howard.
No, I just wanted to say, I often, whenever I'm finding my, whenever the problem, okay? Whenever I see there is a problem, okay, so I sit in this space, but, you know, I participate in my community, participant in my church, participant in politics, right? And whenever I see there is an issue, historically, we've identified things that to be able to kind of talk it off, right? To talk about the history, the tech, you know, the culture, the fact that this has always been like this, there's no expectation. This is so there's social talk. But problems, for me, gives an opportunity. It creates an opportunity. When you start to talk and talk about the soil and the soil not being actually rich enough, my father had three humongous coconut trees in his yard, right? He built his house. We cleared down the property. And the day he cleared down the property, he planted three coconut trees. We never got in the house until maybe 8 to 10 years later. These coconut trees were humongous. When we enjoyed coconut water, so forth and so on, maybe 2 or 3 years, and half the tree died. We didn't know what was happening. Every tree in the yard, half the tree died, right? And for the life of us, we could not eat coconuts in the entire area. And we tried to figure out what the issue was. We realized that there was some disease. No one articulated this to us, but there was a disease in the coconut trees because it was in our yard only. It was around the space. Now, I say that to say this problem that we may have, whether it's the pineapples in Eleuthera, whether it's the citrus in Abaco, whether it's the citrus and whatnot in East Grand Bahama, there are opportunities that exist when you see there is a problem. And I think that Deep Science Venture could give you an opportunity to be able to solve a local problem that could even be a global problem and put your name on the map.
Absolutely. There's so much in that. The things that we're talking about, in a lot of instances, people are already working on it and you can collaborate with them. And in this space, you know, I can point to a few Bahamians who are already working on like the agriculture space. One of them, Dr. Salima Harver, on Eleuthera opened this oasis grow house where they can control growing conditions. It's a huge facility, a huge greenhouse that also captures the rainwater off of the roof so that you have all the different benefits that you would need. It's eco-friendly. And there's research going on that can leverage these spaces that we've already invested in the mm-hmm. Bahamas. And we're going to keep talking about spaces like agriculture. And some people are going to figure out how to regenerate the soil, might as well be us. Some people are going to work on vertical farming technologies where you don't even, the soil isn't even a constraint necessarily anymore. You can build these constructs that provide nutrition up and down a rig to grow vertically, right? So there are all kinds of different ways to get around these challenges. But you're right, we can't just keep saying, oh, here's the problem and can't do anything about it. It's time that we think about it, get some people who will dedicate themselves, spend 3 years on the problem, and you'll be surprised what they come up with.
Yeah, I think we could be able to, from a citrus standpoint, onions, for agriculturally, citrus, onions, tomatoes, pineapples, coconuts, bananas. These are things that we should be able to produce ourselves. I'm talking about mass quantities of this. I often hear about BAIS, BAMSI out of Andrus and Howard. They don't even have enough space to be able to distribute the onions. And they're doing these things like this. So the onions are sitting there and they can't distribute it accordingly. This was under the last administration. I don't know whether or not this current administration has done anything with that. But I'm saying that to say that we need to be able to interconnect and we need to find a sense of consistency. That's the one thing that I think is a constant. We need to find consistency. When you start to talk about what would we need, the one thing that I think that we need locally to be able to encourage the next generation is consistency. They need to know that they can survive. They need to know that they can live.
And I'm so excited about, because what you just described is transport. Like how do we, and this is going to be crucial for an archipelago, like how do we move food between the islands that are heavily populated and therefore maybe not growing most of the food and other islands? And so if you're the kind of person who wants to drill into this and figure out, is it the soil conditions? Is it vertical farming? Do we need better transport? Like, what is the most important part of the problem for the Bahamas? You should apply. Like, we would love to see what kind of work you do during the application process, very brief process. And then, you know, we'll take it from there. But equally, this is going to keep being a problem until we have critical mass funding more of these people in the Bahamas. I mean, the people that we're talking about and naming, they're almost never considered. And so, like, how do we create more role models and tell their stories? And this program is one part of the puzzle, training people so that they come out and they can say, this is what I invented. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need more of Templeton World Charity Foundation. We're going to need more people from Life or Key Foundation and other places. We've got, you know, the UK government funding this already. We've got companies like Anglo American who are very serious about decarbonization. Mm. And we need to see the response in the Bahamas to keep that community growing of inventors and innovators.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that you started to talk about, and I want to be able to lend a significant emphasis on this because it goes right back to consistency, the ecosystem. You started to talk about the inventor. You started to talk about the funder and the founder, right? You started to talk about being able to identify and forging relationships, whether it be from angel investor or whether it be micromanagement, and persons want to be able to know intricately what's going on with this particular thing. Then you talk about being able to learn about this and participate to pitch this to even higher levels. And then identifying lobbyists and politicians and so forth and so on to create the legislation to ensure that there's a sustainability. This ecosystem needs to be fortified locally. And I think more conversations like this can be able to be identified, because the next dispensation of leaders need to understand that we have a responsibility. It's not just our prime minister now taking on this kind of a position to go over to COP 26, 27, 28, 29 to have conversations about what's happening from a global standpoint, the carbon footprint, so forth and so on. It's locally. And we have a responsibility locally to identify, to conserve, to ensure that we preserve the next generation. So I want to be able to encourage you, my brother, as we wrap this thing up. I want to give you a few more minutes to be able to put a few things on the table. But I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage you wherever you are in the world, as you continue to be able to think about home participation and how this can be able to impact. I got to encourage you to keep keeping on, because this is purpose. This is faithful, and there is a greater objective than just being able to keep yourself productive. I thank you, man. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to do that. I think I got one more telephone call before you go. I think this one's for you. They were actually of Jomo Kamba was your family. They texted me right now, right? Hold one second. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
Hey, good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, man. Hey, Howard, bees are supposed to be growing just about anything in the Bahamas, man. We have sun. See, a lot, and we don't have to, like, some countries have to put things up and cover them up from the snow in the winter. We have year-round heat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we shouldn't, this is good. Them family islands and different other spots where we have massive land, but just sitting up with a bunch of trees and everything. We need to, like you say, we need to start producing our own fruits and everything.
Everything.
Hey, y'all, you know,
yeah.
A coconut right now, a coconut farm. We have a lot of, I see people them have coconut trees and they root them up and throw them on the side of the road and to die. But they don't know how serious, and then we still got to go in the food store and buy coconut water.
My God.
There's a lot of sugar in it.
My God.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you, my brother.
Right now, I grow on pepper some right now. I have some California Reaper some right now. I love pepper. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I would like to join any program to help her, because I know what
call me on my phone, tell me how you produce your pepper, and let's be able to do that. Hit me up 827-0111. I bring you on Small Business Thursday to talk about it.
827-0111. All right, then.
All right. Okay, my brother. Listen, I got a text here, Dr. Campbell. I want to be able to read this to you. Said, is this gentleman who is calling in related to the other James Campbell from Cat Island? I think we got past this. Who happens to be the MP Jomo Campbell's father? I'm telling you, they can peg you from wherever. Wherever you are, they're talking about this. So I think that's just one of the things, because as you inspire people, they'd like to know the authenticity. Is this guy really a Bahamian? Is he really being able to do these things? Talk to them about it.
Yeah, no, I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, and
I've
made that known. And I think one of the things that's really important, I guess, in this conversation, being Bahamian, is that, well, we talked about creation, but the Venture Science Doctorate is also a diversity first program. And the whole world right now, every university, wherever they're doing science research, they're talking about diversity, which means that we have an advantage right now. People who are from the Caribbean, people of color, this is our time to be applying to programs, mine and others everywhere in the world, to say, you know, actually, it's time for more equality. It's time for people who are working on the kinds of problems that we have in the Caribbean to be on the same platforms as people who are working on climate tech in California, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a golden time right now. And this is part of why I'm so driven to get this message out to more Bahamians in particular, because maybe this isn't something that we've been talking about for generations and we've been taking ourselves super seriously in this space. At the moment, maybe you can't think of another Bahamian scientist, but desperate for people like us to take the stage, to invent, to apply ourselves to the problem, come up with the solution. And, you know, the caller just now made a bunch of great points about how we have the land in the Bahamas. We have great conditions, particularly in the agriculture space. You could easily say we shouldn't be spending $1 billion a year on agriculture. And if we were feeding ourselves, where would that money go, right? It could only do more good for our country. So it's an opportunity for us everywhere around the world where you want to do science research right now. But it's a particular opportunity for the Bahamas, where in some instances, we're really close to solving some of these problems. And maybe the technology already exists. And we just haven't, like you said before, given somebody that focused, dedicated time to say, how would we solve this in the Bahamas?
My brother, I want to thank you so very kindly for joining me. That's the end of the show today. I want you to come back whenever you're available. If you're here in the city of Nassau, if you have some new concepts and ideas you want to be able to put it on, we are open here at the Foundation to Development of the Country. I believe with science, I believe with the concept and idea of being able to open up to creatives to lend to a solution for growth and development, we can make it happen together. I thank you so very kindly, Dr. Thane Campbell, calling me all the way from Scotland and taking the time out to have a good conversation with us. Ladies and gentlemen, go and check out Venture Science Doctorate, Venture Science Doctorate on Google. Find out the information, participate in that, and be able to make some things happen. My brother, thank you so very kindly for being able to
join
in today, man. Thank you, mate, so much, man. I'm going to be able to text you a little bit later and see if we can set something up in the future.
All right.
Okay, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. Thank you so very kindly for participating. It is a beautiful day. I want you to be able to be safe. Dive into more information tomorrow. We're going to be able to have a panel discussion, probably dabble just a little pinch into politics and some things that's happening out here, and see if we can be able to stretch far and wide the concepts and ideas of different science and technologies to see our country moving forward with creativity. Thank you so very kindly for participating today, guys. Stick and stay for Shivago Lang after this. This is the Foundation 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant. We're going to see you tomorrow. Godspeed.